can hear them.
All right, praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning, and we got people sitting on both sides this week. That's interesting. It'll be a little unusual this week. Mom's out of town. She's in Minnesota right now. She's due back tomorrow, and my sisters, Jane and Anna, they're also out of town, so half of my crew is gone, but we're going to carry on, and Jenny's going to help us out with the piano this morning, so that'll be great. And before we get started this morning, I want to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to come together in thy name. We thank thee for this opportunity to worship thee and to sing thy praises. We ask that thy spirit would be here upon each and every one of us. We ask for the presence of thy Holy Ghost here this morning. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst inhabit the praises of thy people and that thou wouldst bless this service mightily. We pray this in Jesus' name, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
All right, if you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal, we're going to start with a song that most of us should know pretty well by now, because we sing it quite often. Number 3, I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderful sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful story it is. Never get tired of hearing that one. And that's why we gather here every Sunday, to hear the gospel. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What I'd like to do now is go to number 44. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Praise the Lord. And it's so true. He is such a friend to us. Praise the Lord. What a thought. And Jesus, he's... when he was on earth here, he was both God and both man. And now he's ascended into heaven. And despite that, we have His Spirit with us and in us, and He is our friend, guiding us every step of the way. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we go to number 64? I see a crimson stream. For the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. For through that blood He washed our sins away. Praise the Lord. I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Chuck, if I could get you to do that for us. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes and offerings. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst give us Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory. We know these funds are not ours, but they belong to Thee. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst bless the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song before we get into the Word. Number 169. Pass me not. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Praise the Lord. And he won't. He won't pass us by if we truly seek him. For he is merciful and he is gracious. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for that piano. That was wonderful. And we are going to get started in the Word. Praise the Lord. All right, I got the green light, so we can go ahead and get started. I'm going to call this message this morning, He Careth for You. And what we're going to be looking at, we're going to be going into the book of Matthew and then later on into the book of 1 Peter. And we're going to see how worry and anxiety can really put a lot of trouble in our lives and how we can overcome that through the Lord. And we do need His help so much. But before we get started with this, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy mercy and Thy grace, for Thy loving kindness. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst be here this morning, that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we study Thy Word. We ask that Thou wouldst inspire us, that Thou wouldst cleanse our minds and open our hearts. We ask that Thou wouldst fill us with the Holy Ghost, new and fresh. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst be here with us. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that would perceive and understand Thy Scriptures. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. And to start off with, we're going to begin in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And of course, this is a very familiar chapter to a lot of people because it's part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest sermon that was ever preached, really. It was a sermon preached by Jesus, and in it he gives us wonderful guidance on how we should live our lives. We're not going to be looking at the entire Sermon on the Mount today, but we are going to study chapter 6, and after that we're going to be going to Matthew chapter 10, and as I mentioned earlier, well, after that we'll be going to 1 Peter. And I'm going to start at verse 1 in chapter 6. The entire chapter doesn't necessarily concern worry and anxiety and anxiousness and stress and so forth, but it's a very good chapter with a lot of wonderful things, and I wouldn't really know where to start if I didn't start at the beginning, so we'll just do that. And we'll start in here at Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, which tells us, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." So, right off the bat here, Jesus is telling us that when we give, we shouldn't blab it around. We shouldn't do it for fame and notoriety. We shouldn't do it so that people take notice of us and think, well, what a wonderful person for all he has given. In fact, it tells us that we're not supposed to let one hand know what the other's doing. And, you know, it's kind of interesting there in verse 2, when it talks about sounding a trumpet, they actually used to do that, which is why Jesus mentioned it here. The Pharisees and so forth, and the religious people, the people who considered themselves higher class, sometimes they would literally have a trumpet sounded when they were giving money to someone in need, or an offering, or a tithe, or whatever. They would sometimes actually have a trumpet sounded, if you can imagine all things, so that everybody would look and see what they were doing. But we're not supposed to do that. Verse 3 tells us, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." Just do it and forget about it. "That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly." You know, when they do it to get noticed, that is the reward they get. They're noticed, and that's it. But if you want a blessing from God, just do it, and don't draw attention to yourself. Verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Their only reward is to be seen of men, and that's not a very good reward, I have to say. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You know, sometimes the best thing you can do is just find a place where you can be alone with God and pray to him. There's a great blessing in that. When it's just you and him, praise the Lord. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." And you know, you see that in a lot of religions, actually. They use vain repetitions and chants and so forth. You see that in the Muslim world sometimes. You see that with the Buddhists. You see that especially with the Catholics. They use a lot of vain repetitions. And they do their Our Fathers and their Hail Marys. And it's kind of interesting because in verse 7, Jesus tells us not to use vain repetitions. And then right after that, he goes on to give us the Lord's Prayer. And the Catholics, they take that Lord's Prayer and they turn it into vain repetitions. Now, the Lord's Prayer, of course, we understand that to mean that's not the only prayer we pray. It's designed to be an example of how we should pray. But, you know, prayers are personal. Heart-to-heart talks with God, and, you know, they're not going to be exactly the same every time. We don't pray out of a little book. We pray from our hearts. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." And that's so true. The Lord knows what we need. And sometimes we think we need things when we don't, so we think we don't have what we need, but actually we do. And I think all of us here are tremendously blessed. I know that I have been, and the Lord has given me more than I need, more than I should even ask for, really, and I'm so thankful for everything he's given me. And we always need to remember to be thankful. But the Lord knows exactly what we need. Verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. He's giving us here some examples of things we should pray for. That we should pray that his kingdom comes. That should be the cry of our hearts, as it tells us in the book of Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus. We should all desire that, so that we can be with our Father in heaven. And we should pray that his will is done. We should always pray, not my will, but thy will be done. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sometimes we do things we shouldn't do, and we have to ask for forgiveness. But it's very important that we also forgive those who have committed offenses against us. We shouldn't be walking around with a chip on our shoulder and holding a grudge. We should never do that. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And there's a lot of temptation in this world, but if we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus, he can deliver us from that temptation, from that evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we know that his kingdom is eternal. It is forever. His kingdom will have no end. In fact, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 tells us that it's a kingdom that will never be destroyed. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, isn't that wonderful? I think we all want to be forgiven for the trespasses we've committed. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We need to make sure that we do forgive everyone of any trespasses that they may have committed against us. You know, sometimes people will bring up offenses that people committed against them decades ago, and you just need to let that all go. Praise the Lord. You know, it's actually a huge relief when you forgive people. It's a huge load off your mind, off your shoulders, and we know that when we forgive others, we too will be forgiven by God, and that is so important. We all need that, because if we're not forgiven, we don't have eternal life. We all want eternal life, so we need to forgive, so that we may be forgiven our sins. Verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, it's so amazing, because here's another example in the Bible where Jesus tells us, he gives us instructions on what we should do when we're fasting, and then you have the Catholics who do the exact opposite of that. What do? On Ash Wednesday at the start of Lent, they go and they have ashes put on their forehead. They disfigure their faces, so to speak, so that everyone knows that they're fasting. Although they usually don't truly fast, they give up some little thing, bubble gum or something. But the scriptures tell us, you know, when we're fasting, we're not supposed to go around announcing that we're fasting. It should be between us and God. And, you know, a lot of people, they like to really publish that they're fasting. And, you know, in some cases, it might not even be for spiritual reasons. And, I mean, maybe if someone was invited over for dinner and they didn't like what was being served. Oh, I'm fasting today. Yeah, for how long? Oh, till I get home. But yeah, when we fast, it's supposed to be between us and God. And, you know, if you are fasting and someone maybe asks why you haven't been eating for some reason, it's okay to tell them that you are fasting in that situation, and that's fine, but just don't go blabbing it around, because it is supposed to be a personal and a very spiritual thing between us and God. And, well, I guess that settles that. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. A verse like that, people often try to do the exact opposite. They lay up treasures for themselves here on earth, but those treasures aren't going to last. They can't take them with them when they go, and they're not going to be here forever. And who knows, things can happen here in this world where you lose everything you've got. You know, there's nothing as far as material possessions that we have that couldn't be taken away tomorrow. And our hearts need to be in heaven, not on the things of this earth, not on the treasures of this earth. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasures are in heaven, your heart will be in heaven, because it tells us right here, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And, you know, some people, they do give their heart to their money. In fact, on all of our currency here in the United States, they print on there, "In God We Trust." And, of course, it doesn't tell us which God that is, but for a lot of people, that God that they trust is money. In fact, they call it the so-called almighty dollar. But really, you know, it's just paper and ink or a little bit of metal in the coins. And yet some people, they worship that money. And, you know, we do have need of money for certain things, but the Lord will provide us with what we need, and we should never, ever worship that money as so many people do. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And you know, there are so many people out there who claim to have light. They claim to be enlightened or illuminated, as it were. And in fact, there's a group who call themselves the Illuminati who believe that they're the enlightened ones. But their light is actually darkness. And how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And of course, we know that mammon refers to material things, money, riches, wealth, so forth. And you can't have it both ways. Now, if the Lord has blessed you with money, that's fine, but don't put your heart to it. Don't worship that money. And always remember that you could lose it at any time. And if that happens, just keep serving God. Praise the Lord. But some people, they literally worship their money and their wealth and their possessions. And it tells us here, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You know, our lives consist of more than just our possessions. Our life isn't just stuff. And these are the verses here that I really want to focus on this morning about care and anxiety and worry. And we need to take this to heart because as humans we have a tendency to worry far too much. I know that sometimes that's the case with me. And I find myself worrying about this or that, and I really shouldn't do that, but it's hard not to sometimes. But you know, I have a feeling that people, when they get up in years, they seldom look back on their life and think to themselves, I'm really glad I worried so much. And you know, when you stop and think about it, worry is a thief. It steals your thoughts. It steals your mind. It steals your sleep sometimes. It steals your time. And sometimes it'll even steal your faith. When you worry, sometimes it's hard to believe. It's hard to have faith that things will get better. But we need to trust God. We need to believe that He's going to help us. because he does care for us, and he knows exactly what we need. And, you know, I'm telling this as to myself as much as I am to everyone else, that we need to not worry so much. In fact, we shouldn't worry at all. I know that's a very hard thing to do, but that's something we need to take to heart and something we need to strive for. To not worry, but to just trust God. Verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" And that's true, you know, the fowls of the air. God feeds them. They don't go hungry. In fact, they have a lot to eat, usually, and God cares for those little birds and those fowls of the air. And Jesus is telling us, are ye not much better than they? If God will take care of the birds, why is it so hard for us to believe that God will take care of us? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And you know what it's telling us here in verse 27, worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. It's a complete and total waste of time. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't do any good. And that's what Jesus is telling us here in verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You know, by thinking, you don't change things simply by thinking. But I tell you, one way you can change things is get down on your knees and call out to God. That's a good way to get things changed. In fact, we got that little plaque there in the back. Prayer changes things, and that's very true. Verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" You know, we shouldn't worry about these things. God will take care of us. He promised he would, and I believe that. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." He knows what we need. He knows exactly what we need. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So Jesus is admonishing us here in chapter 6 of Matthew that we need to not worry. We shouldn't worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, where we're going to get clothes. He will provide. He'll make a way for us. If we just put our faith and our trust in him, and if we put him first in our lives, if he is the foremost thing in our lives and we put all our focus on him, if we rise in the morning and seek the Lord, if we seek the Lord as we're sleeping, or going to sleep at night, we seek him during the day. Always seek him first. Put him first. If you do that, he will provide for all of your needs. What I'd like to do now is go over to Matthew chapter 10. You know, people might say, well, okay, well, God has promised he'll provide us with food and clothing and such, but you know, there's a lot of other things that worry me, a lot of other things that cause anxiety. I look around at what's happening in the world and the persecution being committed against Christians and, you know, ISIS rising up, and that worries me, that scares me. But that shouldn't scare us. It shouldn't worry us. It's very sad, and we hate to see that going on. But it's something that we should expect, and it's something that's going to only intensify as we get closer to the return of our Savior. There's going to be more persecution, and it could even be here in the United States one day. But we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't have anxiety over that either. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 1, which tells us, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And you know, I've heard some people say that these were special powers granted only to the disciples. But we have that same power today. A lot of times we don't realize it, but under the authority of the Lord Jesus, we have the ability to cast out unclean spirits and devils, and we have the ability to pray for healing through the power of the Lord Jesus. Those apply to us just as much as they did to the disciples back here. Verse 2, "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these, the first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." So he is sending these disciples out in his name, and they're to cast out devils, and they're to heal the sick. Tells us in verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And it wasn't time yet to go and preach to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. They were sent to the Israelites first. And we do know that later on they were sent to the Gentiles. Thank God for that. We recently studied the book of Acts, and we learned all about that, how the Apostle Paul and how Peter were sent to preach to the Gentiles. And what a wonderful thing, because that includes us. Verse 7, "And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." You know, through the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of his name, they could even raise the dead. Praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing. "Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses." In other words, he's telling them, you need to walk by faith. Don't bring money, don't bring extra clothing. In verse 10 it says, "Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." And that would take an incredible amount of faith to go out on a journey and not take anything with you. No money, no extra clothes, just whatever you're wearing, clothes on your back, and that's it. "And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." And sometimes, you know, we need to follow that example too. If you try to witness to somebody and they're not hearing it, and they're not having any of that, well, don't keep working on it and expending all of your energy on that. Sometimes you need to know when to just walk away and shake the dust off your feet. Some people are not going to listen. Verse 15, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." You know, we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, but there are devastating consequences to those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling us right here. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." You know, the devil's favorite way to work is by using other people. It's interesting here that Jesus is warning them, beware of men. He's telling them, actually, it's men who are going to cause you the most trouble. And that's so true today. The devil likes to stir up people and use men and women to cause trouble in the lives of the Christian people. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. So in other words, Jesus is telling them, if you're brought before governors and kings, don't worry about it. Don't stress over it. You don't even need to rehearse what you're going to say, because the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, will lead you, direct you, and guide your mouth. And we can be assured of that even today. He'll do that for us today. Praise the Lord for that. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And a brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And this is all very sad. He's telling us that families will be divided. And that's something that we see even to this day. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You know, we're not going to be loved by everyone. Some people are not going to like us for what we believe, but that's all right, because we're not called to fit in. We're not called to go and make friends with the world. We're called to be a holy people, and holy means separate, a peculiar people. And they're going to think that we're very strange. In fact, the scriptures tell us they think it's strange that we run not with them, but they can think it's strange all they want. We are called to be nonconformists in this world. Praise the Lord. So there will be some hatred directed towards the Christian people, and you tend to see more and more of that these days. Within the United States, the atheists have become quite vocal, and now the Satanists, they're rising up and being quite vocal and challenging Christians. But that's no surprise. Again, that's another sign that we're getting closer to the return of our Savior. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Now, Jesus is going to tell us that we need not be afraid. We don't have to be fearful. We don't need to worry. It tells us in verse 26, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. You know, all those people out there working in secret, conspiring and doing evil things, that is all going to be brought to light someday. Those secrets are not going to be hidden forever. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's something we need to heed. You know, if we don't fear death, when you stop and think about it, what is the worst possible thing that could happen to us? Well, someone could kill us. But if you don't fear that, you don't have to fear anything. And Jesus right here is telling us not to fear that. You know, we may someday be called as martyrs to die for the cause of Christ. And if that happens, it's actually an honor and a privilege. But if we don't worry about dying, if we don't fear that, we don't need to worry about anything or fear anything. Praise the Lord. And when you stop and think about it, when they threaten to kill you, what are they really threatening? They're threatening you with heaven, because if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and filled with His Spirit, and if you're walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we don't really, truly die. We pass through a door into eternity. We pass from death to life. And therefore, we don't need to fear those who can kill the body. And if we can get that through our heads, we can truly overcome fear and worry. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Praise the Lord. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And Jesus knows the very hairs of your head, how many you have. It's really amazing that God, the creator of the universe, would take such a personal interest in us. But he does it. He loves us, despite us being so much lower than him. You know, when you consider the vastness of the universe and where God is and our place in that universe, and we're just tiny little specks. But yet he cares about us insomuch that even the very hairs of our head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now isn't that nice? We're of more value than many sparrows, it tells us. And yet he loves those little sparrows. When you stop and think about that, if he loves those little birds, how much does he love us? Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. You know, if you confess the name of the Lord Jesus before men, then your name will be confessed in heaven. Your sins will be blotted out. And when you stand before Jesus on judgment day, your previous sins will not be held against you as long as you've repented and your sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So it's a very serious thing to deny the Lord Jesus. We need to make sure we never do that. We need to make sure we're never ashamed to confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. No matter who may be around or what they may think of us, we should never deny the Lord Jesus. Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And if you have a household where you all get along, that's a wonderful thing, and thank God for it, because a lot of people don't have that. There are a lot of divided families, and it's a very sad thing. And if we know people in that situation, we need to pray for them. Verse 37 tells us, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You know, we should all love our families, but we need to put God first. We need to love him more. We need to seek him more, seek to please him more than any of our relatives or our friends. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know, all those people being persecuted, they've found life. All of those Christians who have been killed, they've found life. Life eternal. Praise the Lord. Verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You know, when you help someone in need, if you provide even something which seems so minor, a cup of cold water, even that, it's as if you're doing it for the Lord Jesus himself. And it's very important that if we have the ability to help someone and they need help, it's very important that we help them. But the point of emphasis that I want to draw on here in chapter 10 is that we needn't be worrisome or fearful. We shouldn't fear those who might kill us, because they can't kill the soul. Verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And if we can truly understand that and embrace that, we don't need to worry or fear anything. Praise the Lord. I would like to go to one last portion of Scripture in closing. 1 Peter chapter 5. This isn't a terribly long chapter, but it's a wonderful one. Of course, it was written by Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it tells us, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." And you know, people out there, preachers and so forth, they shouldn't be doing that for the money, for filthy lucre. But they should do it out of a love for God and for a love of God's people. And you know, there are a lot of preachers out there who are very wealthy, and they drive around in fancy cars, and they have houses and so forth. And sometimes you stop and think, you know, if they would just take that money and think of how many people they could help with that, and yet they blow it on material things. And the prosperity gospel is very popular these days. Belief that God is going to bless you with riches. You know, he does actually bless some people with riches. We find examples of that in the scriptures. Some believers actually did have quite a bit of wealth, but it's not a promise to all of us. You see, God knows exactly what we need, and he knows that if we have riches, if it will destroy us or not, if it will draw us away from him. And he gives us what we need. But we shouldn't be trying to serve the Lord because we're trying to get something out of it, some filthy lucre or great wealth and money. That's not what it's all about. "Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock." And that's an important verse too. You know, preachers aren't supposed to be lording over their flock, trying to dictate every little thing in their lives. There are some preachers out there who are like that, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. Preachers are supposed to serve as examples to the flock. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." And you know, none of us here are any better than anybody else. I'm no better than any of you, and it's not a competition to see who can be most holy. That's not what it's about. In fact, verse 5 tells us that we need to be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We need to ensure that we're always humble. We need to make sure we are humble, because if we're full of pride, God can't use us. We must be humble. And verse 6 tells us, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And here's the verse I was looking for. Verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He cares for us. He loves us. And you know, when we have worry or cares in our lives, we need to just give those to the Lord. It tells us in verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him." It doesn't say some of it, a portion, a little bit. It says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Give your worries up to the Lord, your anxiety, your stresses. Let the Lord take that away. You know, and if you are finding yourself worrying or stressed about something, one of the best things you can do is just take some time to be alone with the Lord, be in his presence, and when you do that, your troubles will fade away. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And we need to always be sober and be vigilant and be watchful, because there is an enemy out there who's after us. And the Bible here is comparing him to a roaring lion. That's how the Apostle Peter put it, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But we can draw comfort from the fact that it says seeking whom he may devour. And if you're under the Lord's protection, he cannot devour you. Praise the Lord. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And that's very true. There are many Christian people all over the world who are afflicted even to this day. But we can cast our cares upon our Lord and Savior, and we can get in his presence, and when we do that, those troubles will just fade to the background as we're in the presence of the Lord. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Praise the Lord. You know, we do have to suffer for a while in this world. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy living in this world. And God never promised that it would be. He never said that it would be easy. But we do know that it will be worth it. And, you know, we'll suffer for a while in this world, but in the end, we're perfected by the Lord Jesus, and we are established and strengthened and settled. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see from the scriptures, we don't need to be scared. We don't need to live in fear. We don't need to worry all the time. We can give our cares to the Lord, and he will take them from us. He will give us the peace of God in our hearts, a peace that passes all understanding. Praise the Lord. So we need to take that to heart. Don't spend so much time worrying, and I know that's something I need to work on too. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy scriptures. We thank thee for the lessons thou hast taught us. We thank thee for thy promises. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be with us, that thou wouldst help us and deliver us from all worry and all fear and all anxiety, for we know that perfect love casteth out fear. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be with us and in us, and that thou wouldst dwell in our hearts and give us peace of mind. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst abide with us each and every day, and that thy Holy Ghost would be upon us all. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. We'll sing a chorus in closing, number 78 in the chorus book. We don't need piano music for that one. We'll just go ahead and sing it. I think we all know that one pretty well. Number 78, Keep On Walking By Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer.